We go to Ron in Wintersville, Ohio, listening on God's Word. Is that right, Ron?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Very good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This must be Father Son's Day, because I was with my adult son just last week, and it's an aspect of relativism and
Amen.
Sort of it's syncretism, I guess,
okay.
is that he has many friends who say, all I need is a relationship with Jesus, and, well, religion is so divisive,
right.
so I don't need to be part of a church. Some actually do attend some Protestant churches, but a good number of them don't. And I wondered if there's some audio resource that would be good for him to listen to in a nice way. Obviously, these are his friends, but he wants to sort of help work with them as well.
All right. So what you're saying is that this idea of relativism seems to have in some way made its way into these particular forms of Christianity, and the argument being, because religion is so divisive, well, then I don't really need to belong to any religion, but I just need to believe in Jesus. Is that the gist of it?
Just me and Jesus,
right? Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, here's one thought, Ron. Notice that the argument or the basis for the argument is that religions are divisive. Well, you can simply turn the tables on the individual who's making that argument and saying, well, do you believe in an absolute truth? And you mentioned that some of these folks are Christian, coming from a Christian community. Well, yes, they're going to believe in an absolute truth, namely Jesus Christ is God. Okay, well, that's a claim of objective truth. But there are others who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. There are others who do not believe that God exists in the first place. So the very fact that these Christian individuals are making an objective claim, a claim about objective reality, Jesus is God, God exists, by its very nature constitutes a dividing line from those who do not believe that Jesus is God and who do not believe that God exists. So their argument from religion being divisive doesn't hold water, because in as much as they profess objective truths, they're constituting boundaries and dividing lines. That's just the very nature of truth itself. P, not P, right? If you say God exists, well, the contrary to that is God doesn't exist. So the minute you make a statement about objective reality, you're drawing a dividing line, you're drawing a boundary. So that's what I would say in regard to the argument from divisiveness. Now, concerning the me and Jesus thing, Ron, here's the key. Okay, me and Jesus. All right, I look at these historical documents. These early Christian writers are talking about the historical Jesus, right? And we can go through all the historiographical research to say Jesus existed. I can trust the Gospels, all right? We don't have time to do that, but let's say we've done that. We've done our research. This Jesus guy made some claims to be God, okay? I accept that. He rose from the dead, vindicated those claims. Now, we also have to look, Ron, at what Jesus left us. He left us a Christian community. And not just a Christian community where everybody's relative in their Christian thinking of saying, oh, well, I'm going to believe what I think Jesus taught, and you just go ahead and believe what you think Jesus taught. No, Jesus gave us a church, Ron, a Christian community with constituted officials to guide and lead his group of people, his flock. And we see this explicitly in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. He constitutes Peter as the visible and central leader of the 12. In Matthew 18, 15 through 17, he talks about when there's a disagreement, you take it to the church, and the church is going to have the final say regarding the matter. We see this played out in Acts chapter 15 at the Council of Jerusalem when there was a theological debate about circumcision. They brought it to the church. They brought it to the church leaders, and the truth was declared. So no such thing as only me and Jesus, but me, Jesus, and his church.